Amen. Let's open our Bibles, please, this morning in the book of Acts, chapter number 20. Acts, chapter number 20, this morning in your Bible. Years ago, in another part of the country where we lived, there was a house that I used to drive by on a regular basis. It was a brand new house under construction. And yet, for some reason, building on this house had stopped when it was partially finished. In fact, I don't even think it was completely in the dry, but they had stopped working on the house. And I didn't know why. I often wondered why when I drove by the house. You know, why isn't anybody finishing this house? I assumed that maybe they'd run out of money or maybe there was some other issue. But that house sat half finished for years. And I would go by, and it was starting to rot. It was going to waste. I watched as the OSB sheeting, you know, began to weather, and then it began to fall apart. And it was really, it hurt to look at this house that somebody had started building. Somebody had put some real time and money an effort into, and then had never finished it, and it just hurt to look at it. In my heart, I would say, that house needs to be finished. This isn't right. You know, there are places in China, I understand, where they have overbuilt, and they've had a lot of building going on in China, and yet they have built way more buildings, evidently, than they need. And so there are places in China where they have these places called, I guess they call them concrete ghost towns. Here's a picture of one right here, where you have these high-rise apartment buildings, and if you look really close, all they are is concrete. There's nothing else there but a concrete shell of a building, and then they have stopped building them, and now they are starting to demolish some of these buildings. They're just blowing them up, imploding them, bringing them back down to the ground, and so you think to yourself, what a waste to go to all that effort to put up a building like that, spend millions of dollars, and then never finish it. And folks, this morning, as we start into this year of 2024, the challenge and the encouragement that I have for you today is simply, do not let your life look like one of those abandoned structures. Let's make 2024 a building year in our church and in our lives and in our homes. And so I'm excited to introduce to you the theme that I would like us to have as a church for 2024. God laid this, I believe, upon my heart some time ago, and I've been thinking about it. And I'm looking forward to developing it for you this year. But here is our theme. It is rise up and build. Rise up and build. If you know anything about the Bible, you know probably know where that comes from. It comes from the book of, anybody know? Nehemiah. I have some Bible scholars out there that know that. It comes from the book of Nehemiah. And so I'm going to develop that theme this year largely from the book of Nehemiah. I'm not going to start preaching it right away because I need to finish Hebrews first. But once I finish Hebrews, we're going to be going to the book of Nehemiah on Sunday mornings. But today I would like to introduce this theme for you from another book of the Bible, Acts chapter number 20. Would you look with me at verse number 32? Verse number 32, where the Apostle Paul says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Now, if I could explain the context here in Acts chapter 20. What is going on in Acts chapter 20? This is Paul's farewell to the Ephesian elders. He's on his way to Jerusalem at the end of his third missionary journey. He doesn't have time to go to Ephesus, so he calls them to a nearby town. He calls the pastors of the Ephesian church. He calls them to come as a group. There were probably quite a few of them. And these are Paul's last words, if you will, to these people that he loved very dearly. And so as he looked forward to their future, he reminded them of the vital importance of the ministry of God's Word in their lives to build them up in Christ. Let's just get the context. And so if you would, please go back now to verse number 17. And I want to read to you from verse number 17 all the way back to our text this morning in verse number 32. Look at verse number 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one, night and day, with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. My friends, there's only one way to build a life, to build a marriage, to build a family, to build a church, to build a work of eternal service for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is with the Word of God. And so this morning I want to preach to you about the importance of building with the Word in 2024. As we get started, would you bow your heads with me? Let's ask for God's blessing on this message. Father, I pray that you would help us now to be attentive to those things that you have for us today in the Scripture. Help us to put aside distraction. And Father, I pray that you would strengthen me to speak. Give me a voice this morning. Help me and pray in vocal weakness to be able to declare your truth. I pray that you would be glorified today in this message. We ask your blessing upon it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have 3 points this morning about building with the Word, and first of all, let's consider today the need to be built up. The need to be built up. And I see that in our text, verse 32. Look at the phrase, to build you up. Folks, that was the outcome that Paul greatly desired for these believers in the church at Ephesus, these people that he loved. And I want to explain to you what this terminology means. I don't usually get into the Greek very much in my messages. I don't talk about it a lot. But I want to do that today because I want you to understand this term. The word build up in our verse, this key action word in this verse, is very closely related to the Greek word that is translated edify. The word edify is a commonly used New Testament word. How many of you have heard that word before? Okay, this is interaction time. Okay, so most of you have heard the word edify before. The word edify is a commonly used New Testament word, and it means to build a house. That is the most literal meaning of the word, to build a house. I want you to see the word. The word, the Greek word translated edify is oikodomeo. Oikodomeo. And that is a combination of two other Greek words. The word oikos, which means a house, and the word doma, which means a roof. Okay, so the idea of oikodomeo is to build a house with a roof, or maybe to build it all the way up to the roof. In other words, to build a complete structure from the floor all the way to the ceiling. It is a construction term that is used in the New Testament to describe the process of building, not buildings, but people with the Word of God. For example, I want you to see this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, which is about the church. It says in Ephesians 4, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the, here's our word, oikodomeo, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, key phrase, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the oikodomeo, unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, I want you to notice there, as I read through that passage, the word edify was in that passage two times. And the way we edify people, the way we build people, build a house, okay? Build up God's people like a house, a complete structure in Jesus Christ. The way we do that is by speaking the truth of God's word in an environment of love. And there are two analogies that Paul uses in this Ephesians 4 passage for this idea of building up complete Christians. And he says there in this passage that God designed the church to be a place where his people are built up like a house and where they grow up like a body into mature believers, into a complete structure. Now, through the, how's that happening? Through the faithful, continuing ministry of God's word in their lives. Okay, so that's the word oikodomeo, to edify. Now, coming back to our passage here in Ephesians 20 and verse 32, the word in this passage is a different form of the word. The form of the word used in our text to build up is epoikodomeo. Epoikodomeo. So that's a long word. It is a long word, but I wanted you to see that it's the same word, but it has another Greek word added on the front. It is the word epi, which means upon. And so the idea of epoikodomeo is to build up or to build upon. And this word is used in the New Testament to describe the process of building up believers in Christ, okay? Spiritual growth in the lives of God's people. It is the construction of believers upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Okay, so what does it mean to be built up? This key action word, it means to grow up in Christ. And who needs to be built up? The answer to that question, my friend, is the saints. Every single believer in Jesus Christ, no Christian, no believer starts out the Christian life already built up. Just like you don't start the Christian life as a full-grown believer. You start the Christian life as a little baby Christian. And then you need to grow up in Christ. And the same way, you don't start as a complete structure. You start as a job site. You start as a place where there needs to be a work of construction done to the glory of God. When you get saved, my friend, you have a foundation now in Jesus Christ. You now have a cornerstone that you can build upon for eternity. He is your chief cornerstone, and now the structure of your life needs to be built upon that foundation. And would you notice with me here the urgency of Paul in this passage for this work of construction to be accomplished in the lives of these believers? Would you look back at verse number 31? Look at what Paul said in verse number 31. He says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Folks, this business of building people up with God's word is extremely important. Paul says, you remember, I was with you for 3 years. For 3 years I was warning you. I was warning every one of you. I was warning you day and night. I was warning you even with tears. He reminds these people that they had seen him weeping with the urgency that this work would be done. What was he warning them about? He was warning them about the dangers of wolves and false teachers People that would come in, they would try to deceive, they would try to undermine, they would try to destroy God's work of construction in the lives of His saints. Go back to verse number 29. Look at what he says. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So the danger was wolves and false teachers and destruction of God's work. And so what was the remedy? The remedy, as he said to these pastors. Remember, he's talking here to a group of pastors, a group of elders. And he says to them, hey, that's the danger. And now the solution, the remedy, is you need to feed the flock of God with the whole counsel of God. Look back at verse number 27. Look at verse 27. He says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He reminds them of his ministry, of the ministry that he had there. What was it a ministry of doing? It was a ministry of feeding the people with all of God's word, from cover to cover, the whole counsel of God, every bit that they had up to that point. And then he says to them in verse number 28, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So Paul says to these pastors, he says, hey guys, you need to keep doing what I've already been doing. You take the word of God and you feed the flock of God with the whole counsel of God. You give them everything of God's word that they need. You make sure that you are building them. You make sure that you are edifying them with the truth of God's word. And folks, the truth is that it is still a dangerous world out there. It is still a world where the wolves prowl around the sheepfold, and Satan's servants disguise themselves as servants of God in order to lead people astray. Folks, we have lost people even out of this church in the past through devilish deceptions. This is no abstract study. This is real world life. This is where we are. This isn't just where the Ephesians were living. This is where we are living right now in America today. And folks, there is only one remedy, and that is to be built up. It is to grow up in Christ. My friend, you cannot remain a spiritual infant in your infancy. You need to have the milk of the word. You need to feed on the word. You need to have a work of construction. Use that other analogy from Ephesians 4. You need to have a work of construction being done in your life to build you up complete in Christ. And so I want to ask you right now, believer, do you have the same sense of urgency for a work of supernatural construction to be completed in your life as the Apostle Paul had for a work to be done in the lives of these people that he loved? What does your building site look like? Are there any signs of life and activity at your job site? You know, last year, at the beginning of 2023, I challenged our church family, be in church 53 out of 53 Sundays. Now, you can't do that this year. You can only do 52 out of 52. And you can't even do that because we had to close services last Sunday. But there are still many Sundays left in 2024. Now, I'm sure as you look back on 2023, probably many of us did not make that goal of 53 out of 53 Sundays. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but many of us had some sickness or, you know, I had surgery. I had to miss a Sunday or two in there because of my surgery that I had. But my question is, how many Sundays last year did your job site sit vacant with no building work being done? Can you point to anything of significance that was built in your life last year? Do you have any plans for this year to come, for 2024? Can I tell you something? I have some plans for you. I have some plans to do some building work this year. You know what? I could tell you something else. God has some plans for you. He wants to do a work in your life, but you won't benefit from the work of building, of edifying, that we are going to do in this church to the glory of God and with His help and by His grace. You will not benefit if you don't take part. if you're not a part of what's happening. Believer, there is a need. There is a need for you to be built up. This isn't for the person next to you. This isn't for the person sitting behind you. This isn't for the person sitting in front of you. This isn't for the person that you've been thinking about, oh, this message is really good for so-and-so. This is for you. Because you're not finished yet. You're not a completed house yet. There are still some things that need to be built in your life. This year, the job site of your life should be active and busy to the glory of God. There is a need for a building work in all of our lives. Let's go to point number two, and let's consider how to do that. How? How can we be built up? The power to be built up. The power to be built up. And the key is found in the phrase in our text, verse number 32. Look at the phrase, the word of his grace. That's God's grace. The word of his grace. You know something? That is a unique name for the Bible that is found in this verse and only one other time in the whole Bible. The word of his grace. So why is that the term that Paul used here? Well, this term, the word of his grace, reminds us that God's building work in our lives is a work of grace. And that grace comes to us through God's word. Let me define a couple terms. Grace. What is grace? One of my favorite definitions for grace. God's supernatural power working in your life to meet your need, whatever your need may be. Okay? Sometimes his grace is a healing grace because that might be your need. Sometimes his grace is a strengthening grace because that might be your need. Sometimes his grace is a growing grace because that's your need. And sometimes his grace is a saving grace because that's your need. That's where we all start. We all need the grace of salvation, and then we need the grace to grow. We need the grace to be built up. So grace is God's supernatural power working to meet your need. And then his word is his all-sufficient resource to accomplish any and all building work that needs to be done in your life. Notice back with me in the verse. Notice what it says. That the word of his grace, look at it, which is able to build you up. That word able, let me give you a little bit more Greek. That word able is a translation of the Greek word dunamai. What does that sound like to you? Dunamai. It's where we get our word dynamite from. Able means to have power, ability, or capacity. In other words, my friend, God can. I love that truth. God can. How many times do you say can't in your life? You know, this can't be done. That can't be done. I can't do this. I can't do that. Oh, if it's the will of God, you can. You say, it's so hard for me to grow. It's so hard for me to move on in my Christian life. It just seems like it's so hard to live for Christ. My friend, God can. His word is able. His word has power. God hasn't said we need to be built up and not given us the tools to do the work. The word of God is a sufficient resource. It's everything that we need. You know, if you're going to build a building, if you're going to build a house, okay, you need a budget, right? You need some money. You need some tools. You need some people. You need some resources. You need some materials. God's word is everything you need to be built up in Christ. You know, as a pastor, that truth is my rock. Because I don't have any ability to build up anybody or anything by myself. I can't do it. I cannot do the work of God in this church that needs to be done. You know, that's true. But God can. His word can. God's word is able. And so therefore, my one effective method to be a pastor in this body, to this body of Christ, and my one interest is to build people with the word of God. That is my desire, and I look forward to doing that in 2024. I'm looking forward to the various series that I want to preach in this church in 2024. I am looking forward to the various opportunities that we are planning to feed people and to build people up in God's Word in 2024. I am excited about that opportunity. Why? Because that's where the power is. And believer, the Word of God is your sufficient resource as well. If you've got a problem with your marriage, if you're having trouble with your kids, you will find the answers in His Word. If you're struggling with some addiction, if you're struggling with a besetting sin, you will find the power in God's Word to be delivered. If you need wisdom for making important decisions, God's Word will guide your way. God's Word is able to transform your life. God's Word is able to turn you from a baby into a grown-up Christian. God's Word is able to make you like the Lord Jesus Christ. His Word, the Word of His grace, that Word that is the channel of God's supernatural power to work in our lives, to change us, to grow us, to make us like Christ. His Word is able to build us up. That's where the power is to do the work that needs to be done. And so, look at this verse with me. If you don't have this verse memorized, you should have these two verses. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means every word of the Bible was breathed out by God Himself. It is God, His God-breathed Word, and it is therefore profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What is the outcome? That the man of God, the believer in Jesus Christ, may be perfect, completed, thoroughly furnished unto not some good works, but all good works that God intends for that believer to do. It is the resource to make us complete in Christ. And so if you want to be built up, make good use of God's Word in 2024. One more point this morning, and I'll be done. The opportunity to be built up. The opportunity to be built up. Look back at our text, verse number 32. I'm drawing this point from those words at the beginning of the verse. I commend you. I commend you. And if you want to finish that statement, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. But focus now on that I commend you. What does that mean? The word commend there literally means to put something near someone. It means to lay it before them or to put it into their hands. Okay, and so from that literal meaning, we get the extension of that idea. It means to commit or to entrust something to somebody. You're putting it into their hands. Okay, so the idea there where Paul says to these pastors representing this Ephesian church, the idea was Paul was committing the care of these precious people to God and to His Word. Since Paul would not be there anymore to teach them and to warn them and to watch over them, he put them into the hands of God and into the hands of His Word to continue the building work that He had begun. And He reminded these pastors that although he was leaving, God wasn't leaving. And that God would continue. They still had His Word. God would still work to build them up. But along with that encouragement came a responsibility to make the most of that resource. And I just read you that verse a moment ago, verse number 28. He charged these elders to continue building themselves and God's people with His Word. He says, take heed to continue to feed the church of God. So like Paul said, I commend you to God and to His Word. In the same way, Calvary Baptist Church, I commend you to God and His Word in 2024. I commend you to God and His Word. I'm not saying that I have any plans to go away and never see you again. I'm not saying that, okay? But when I say that I am placing you into the care of God and His Word, I'm also setting that wonderful resource of His Word in front of you. I'm putting it into your hands, and I'm reminding you to make the most of what God has given you. You know, every service, every message, every lesson, every Bible study, every institute class, every day of personal time in the Word is an opportunity to be built up. It is an opportunity for some important work of building to be done on your job site, on the house of construction that God is doing in your life to the glory of God. Now, for my part, by God's grace, I'm going to strive to feed the church of God, which He has purchased with His own blood. That is my desire. That is my intention for 2024. But will you make the most of the resource that you've been given? Look at this passage with me here in Jude, verses 20 and 21. He says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." There is a well-rounded, fourfold description of a godly lifestyle in the last days. What a lifestyle of a child of God should look like in the days before Jesus Christ returns. But it starts with building yourself up. Same word, epoikodomeo. The same word, building yourself up upon your most holy faith. And the way to build yourself up on the foundation of your most holy faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is to build yourself with the Word of Christ, the Word of His grace. And therefore, we should make the best use of God's Word that we can. We should be reading it. We should memorize. We should study. We should attend preaching and teaching services of the church. Maybe take an institute class, participate in a Bible study, maybe teach a class, maybe even a step like going to a Bible college for further formal instruction in God's Word. And folks, we should not just listen to messages. We should not just read the Bible in our personal devotions, but rather we should put those things that we are learning and that we are hearing into practice in our lives. There are many ways to build with God's Word. But you know what? For many of us, one critical component that we need to build into the structure of our lives is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Simply reading the Bible every day, being in church whenever the doors are open, unless we're providentially hindered, consistently, continually building ourselves up on our most holy faith. You know, we built our house back in 2006. I was on the job site just about every day. And I wasn't even the contractor. I was just a homeowner. But I was going out there about every single day. And there was something going on just about every single day, if the weather was good, something going on. Building a house is a daily work. It's a daily work. And so if there is one decision that you should make at the start of this new year, it should be faithful. To be faithful in God's Word. Both in your personal devotional life, that I'm going to spend 7 out of 7 days every week this year, by God's grace, in God's Word. I'm not going to let a single day go by where I did not receive some building work from the Lord Jesus by reading the Bible. I'm going to make it a priority that 7 out of 7 days, not 5 out of 7, not 4 out of 7, not 6 out of 7, but 7 out of 7 days, not a single day this year will go by that I don't spend some time reading God's word, being fed, being built up, being edified, so that I can become a complete Christian in the grace of God and to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, we should make a decision that we're going to be in church every week, every time the doors are open. I don't know how many Sundays we have, 50 Sundays left in this year? 50 out of 50 Sundays. 4 out of 4 services per week. The rest of the story about that house that I told you about at the beginning of the message, that house that just sat for years and began to rot and fall apart, the rest of that story is that later on, that house was finished. And you know what? I was glad. It made me feel good. Finally, somebody is going to finish that house. It gave me joy. But you know what? There is nothing more thrilling to my soul than to see Christians building themselves up in Christ. That gives me way more joy. As far as I'm concerned as a pastor, that's where it's at. I love being on hand, seeing God's grace at work in people's lives. I love being right there, just as a spectator to the power of God when believers are taking steps of faith and discipleship to follow Jesus Christ, when believers are making decisions to obtain victory in their lives, to move forward in their lives by the grace of God, to take some big step of faith, stepping out of that boat like we talked about last year, and finding there the power of God to hold them up. And I look forward to seeing God's grace at work in this church, in your lives, in 2024. And I encourage you to be a part of what God is doing. Let's make 2024 a year of building with the Word. So I wrote a song last night for our theme. Don't have a tune for it yet, so we're not ready to sing it yet. But I just want to read it to you as I close this message. I'm looking forward to singing it sometime soon. The name of the song is Rise Up and Build. Rise up and build. The day grows long. The work is hard, but God is there to make you strong. Pick up your trowel. Take up God's sword. Rise up and build your life with power from the Lord. O man of God, your family waits for you to rise with strength to build your walls and gates. Your wife and children cannot stand alone. Rise up and build your home upon the cornerstone. Our Savior's work demands our zeal. His cause is just. His prize is great. His grace is real. But some are fainting. Others flee. Redeem the time. Build with God's word. A witness be. Christ builds his church upon the rock. His people grow, his truth endures, though skeptics mock. We strive with Christ in his workplace. Build up your brethren with the Spirit's gifts of grace. With Scripture as your trowel, God's word your sword, rise up and build your life upon the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me, please? So I have a couple of questions. Number one,